Again, I want to welcome you, and it's good to see everyone here tonight. For 400 years, 400 years, God didn't say a thing. Not a thing. Actually, technically, a little more. 400 years, nothing. No prophet, there's no healings, there's no miracles that are happening, and the Jews, God's people, were persecuted by harsh rulers. 400 years, and not even crickets. And generation after generation in those 400 years, silence from God. That's it. Nothing. But you made a promise, God, through the prophet Isaiah and other prophets, to rescue us from the bondage of sin and from this oppression from these oppressive governors and rulers and nations. When will the Savior come? Silence. Nothing. Complete silence from God. You know, it's hard to hold on to the promise or a promise when all you hear is silence. While all you see is turmoil all around you, and you feel forgotten. Why are you taking so long? When are you coming? We need you, please. Are you even there? Are we really yours? Have you ever experienced that silence? If you're human and you're alive, you probably have. Maybe you've heard and you're here tonight from your grandparents or maybe from your parents or maybe even your siblings, great-grandparents, friends, how God did great things. But you feel like, nope, not me. I haven't experienced those things. Or maybe you feel like, you know, I did, but it's been so long since I heard and felt God's presence that I wonder if He's even with me. Perhaps, just maybe, that's what the shepherds felt. They knew about the promise. To what extent, I don't know, but they knew about the promise that there would be a rescuer coming to God's people and to humanity. They knew, and they understood that a time was supposed to be coming soon, and they knew about it if even only from a distance, because their livelihood limited their interaction with the townspeople in Bethlehem and the surrounding villages, and it even prevented them from attending worship in the temple on a regular basis. What about us, God? Will you save even us from Roman oppression and the endless sacrifices of our lambs for the people's sins? And then God begins to break the silence. First to Mary. You recall, you know that the Gospel of Matthew records when the angel comes and he tells her, you're going to be so blessed because you're going to be carrying the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Whoa. But God speaks. He comes on the scene again through his messenger, an angel. Then to Joseph, through an angel again, he speaks shortly after that. And Matthew records in chapter 1 and verse 20 that an angel of the Lord says to Joseph, Mary's fiancé, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. But it's so quiet. But God continues to speak, and then he makes the grandest, most majestic birth announcement ever. Have you seen the videos of people or been to a gender reveal party? Have you been to those? What my child's going to be, a boy or a girl? And then you see the ones that go bad, right? With explosions and different things. And people try to outdo each other with these different parties. And it gets extreme and crazy and even downright dangerous to make a proclamation, an announcement about my child, if it's a boy or a girl. No one can outdo what God did when he announced that his son was going to be born. Ever. It'll never be matched. It'll never be outdone. It's the most majestic birth announcement ever. An angel appears to the shepherds in the darkness, in the fields, in the quiet, under the stars. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I do sometimes, you might think I'm crazy, whatever. I like when I get home sometimes in the winter and I go out for an errand and it's dark out. Before I go into the house, I'll just stand there. And because we live, it's so dark around here. And I just look up for like 5 or 6 minutes. It's quiet. It's so still. It's cold, but it's clear. There's no humidity. And the stars and the moon and the lights. And then once in a while you see just a shooting star go by. And it's just, can you imagine the shepherds being under that? And then an angel appears to them in the midst of this when they've been wondering, God, you've been so quiet for so long. When are you coming? When are you coming? And this blinding light, I'm just envisioning this. I'm almost having a moment, if you will, but this is blinding light. This blinding presence of God with the angel scares them. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Can you imagine that? Experiencing this and to be told as soon as you're feeling that terror because of this crazy experience, frankly, that you've never probably had. And then the angel of the Lord to say, relax, don't be afraid. Okay. I'll try. Don't fear. Okay. It's, you know what it reminds me of? Like? It's like seeing and being unsettled and full of fear about all those drones that are unidentified in the beginning of this month that people were talking about. And it was kind of a hysteria going on about that. Take that and multiply it by like 10 million to have this angel of the Lord, his messenger, come and break the silence to the shepherds and declare this announcement and make this proclamation. No, really. Really, shepherds, don't fear. Because I bring you good news of great joy. I want to scream, but I won't because I'll scare somebody in here. Literally, the word here, this is so amazing, is if you take a literal translation from, you know, this is in English, but the original manuscripts and in the New Testament, the Greek, I am evangelizing you. I am evangelizing you. I am proclaiming, I'm gospeling you. I'm telling you the good news. I'm proclaiming you. This is an announcement that he's making of a message about a positive and important event which brings great joy. So don't fear. It's going to be good. In fact, it's a message of mega joy. From now on, when you read the scripture, don't even say great joy. It's good news of mega joy. You know why? Because the Greek word is megas. It's mega joy. You know what mega joy is? You know what that means? It's remarkable and it's out of the ordinary. It's really big. After all these years and generations of silence. Maybe you can recall in your life being told something can't be done or wouldn't happen for you or through you even. And then it does. It becomes mega news. And you want to tell people, for example, it's incredible. It's like hearing that you are cancer-free after being told it would be almost impossible to beat. It's a death sentence. Is that mega joy or is that mega joy? It's mega joy. It's big. It's great joy. And it's worth telling and proclaiming. And in this case, for God's people and these shepherds, it was like waiting for rescue from Roman oppression as a nation. And all of humanity was also waiting to be free from the law and the curse of sin. And now good news. And God starts to speak and he breaks the silence. Furthermore, the angel declares this good news of mega joy. I'm going to call it that now. I'm not kidding. It's for all people. We've sang it. We've heard it in the scriptures. It's for all people. And the most amazing, beautiful thing is that God is not distant. He's not aloof and uncaring and uninvolved. After all, he broke the silence. He's still there and he cares and he proclaims good news to all people through his messenger, the angel. But notice something in that text. That wonderful transition of good news being for all people to "for unto you is born this day in the city of David." It goes from God saying it's from everyone, and then God says to the angel, "Nate, I know you're a lowly shepherd, but Nate, for unto you this day, born in the city of David," for you, the personal God who cares about you. You're not just a number. You're not just a statistic. You're not just one of 8 billion people there are today. You care and you matter to God, and he singles you out with his personal attention and love and message of good news that is great, that is mega joy. That day, in a moment in time and history, in that day, Jesus was born Emmanuel, God with us. We call this the incarnation, when God arrived to earth in the flesh, even though he always was, as Donovan read in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." The eternally existent Jesus was born for you as much as he was for all people. If you feel that you have been alone, if you feel that you've been hurt, if you feel you're hungry, if you're poor, if you're in despair, and I could keep adding, he knows, because as God, he became a human and experienced all that you do. He was born in an actual place. I was born in Deaconess Hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, no longer there, a campus of a larger hospital now. But he was born in an actual place, on the map, on this planet, the city of David, which is a reference to Bethlehem itself. By the way, Bethlehem means house of bread. And one day Jesus would declare that he is the bread of life in John chapter 6. And if you would just partake, you would never hunger and thirst again. It's all connected. It's all by design. There is nothing by accident. God knew what he was doing. It was a plan that was generated by God's mind, if you will, before the foundations of the world. But the beauty of that truth about Bethlehem being the house of bread and Jesus being the bread of life is underscored by his right to the throne of David to rule, because he would be the king in David's line, that great ruler promised all down through the entire Old Testament. It's powerful. It's powerful. God keeps his word. God knows what he's doing. His plan is perfect. And this was not about political rule. But note, the Bible does declare that he does establish governments and their borders, and he determines their purposes according to his plan. But this rule is a spiritual one, where he has the authority to change hardened, sin-filled people who willingly submit to his reign on the throne of their hearts. So, the angel delivers this good news of mega joy for all people, and yet born for you in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Notice what the angel says about Jesus. He is a Savior. He is Savior, I will say. And that describes his job. He is the only one who can save you and me from the penalty of sin, which is death, that separation from God's gracious presence, which will last forever and ever unless there's a rescuer. That's because we fall short of God's standard. His perfection is holiness, and we'll never be able to rise up to his level, ever. I repeat Sariah's scripture reading from John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Memorize that along with John 3:16. Jesus died because of your sins in your place. He was resurrected back to life and is the only bridge to a relationship with God, your Creator, the God Almighty. Notice also he is Christ, and that is his title. You have his job description. He came to save and to redeem mankind and reconcile them back to God. But he is Christ, and that is his title. He's the Messiah. He was God's anointed one, the chosen one who was promised for centuries to be God's king to his people as a prophet, as a priest, and a king. Do you remember Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John's Gospel chapter 4, and they're having a conversation, and this woman says to Jesus, "I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Why? Because he was God. He was the one. He was the chosen one, appointed, ordained, right in God's plan and his economy at the exact same time. He was the one. We sing a song we used to sing. You are the one. I can't even sing. We have waited for. Oh, this is our God. Right? You're the one that we have waited for. The one. You're the only one. There's no other one. And he was chosen by God. He is the Christ, anointed for this purpose, to bring the kingdom of God and to proclaim it, declare it, and then bring citizens of that kingdom into it. Thirdly, notice that the angel gives us his identity. He is Lord. He's Lord. In other words, he is Almighty God. Because in the Greek, the transliteration is Yahweh from the Hebrew. And that's what he told his people in the Old Testament, the Jews, to call him throughout the Old Testament Yahweh. And he is Yahweh, he is Lord, he is the sovereign, he is a ruler who rules rightly with ultimate authority. And he came to earth for you. The Almighty God of the universe, who caused everything to come into existence, came for you. The angel said so, and God planned it that way. He isn't fazed by your struggles. He's not fazed by your sin. He's not even fazed by all your attempts to synchronize your plan and timing to be his, to make them God's. He's not even concerned about your efforts to do that. He is in complete control. He is God Almighty with all power, authority, and everything at his disposal. But I ask, isn't that our struggle? isn't it, that we want to be in charge, we want to be in control, to take total autonomy. I determine the course of my life and where I will go. There is some truth to that. But God is in charge and in complete control. Let me ask you, if you struggle and we fight like that, that we want to be in control and keep control and maintain control, and I've asked this question so many times to so many people over the years, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? Doesn't God seem silent when you think you are exercising total autonomy? Be honest. Don't you see that there is so much that is out of your control, and yet He is Lord. He is God. He is one with God. He is God, part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is His identity. Jesus is God. And He came for you and me. And I want to tell you something this morning, this afternoon, this evening. It's evening already. The silence is over. The silence is over. Do you hear it? Do you hear? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds heard it. They responded. And after they saw Jesus in the manger, they glorified God and they spread the news everywhere. That mega news they received was worthy of being passed on as more mega news. Great news that we saw Jesus. He finally came, the promised one, for you. But He came for me and I saw Him. And I tell you, He's broken the silence and He's present. And God speaks. He speaks through His Son Jesus during His ministry. He speaks through the apostles. He speaks through the Word of God very clearly to you and to me. And He speaks by His Holy Spirit to the deepest part of our spirit. Will you come to Him just as the shepherds did? I don't know where you are this Christmas season. I don't know what has been agonizing you and bringing agony into your life. The struggles and the darkness and all that you're through, going through. But Jesus is not in a manger right now. But He is at the door of your heart. And the Gospel of John tells us in chapter 1 that the good news of great joy, of mega joy, shatters all silence. It pierces all the darkness of our sin and struggles because, as John said in chapter 1, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But, key word, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, that He is Savior, He is Christ, He is Lord, He is God, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's called being born again and becoming a new creation. The silence is broken. And you and I can continue to break the silence as we do as the shepherds did and proclaim that the good news of great joy has come and He has been born. He is Jesus. He is the Savior born in Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. That's what we do.